I appreciate that song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I've drawn on the board a feeble effort of a flag, our United States flag, and put the words up there, our allegiance. What do you feel when you see a flag go by? There was a lot more honor maybe given to it, and you were required to put your hand over your heart. And when we start our day in school, we start out, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. We're thankful for that. We're proud of that. We have an allegiance, in a sense, to that flag because it represents for us our country, our government, our home. I remember one time going abroad. When I came back into the United States in Memphis, we had to stop at a Homeland Security. And while you were there, they had to check your passport, your identity, to make certain you are who you are. And I remember handing my license and all those papers to the man that was standing there. And he looked at him, and he looked at me, and he says, "Welcome home." And I remember thinking, I could kiss your feet right now. I am so glad to be home. America is still home to me. I love America. So when we finish with this message this morning, I want you to know I still love America. But it's not our hope. And there's been an error, if you will say, that the devil has worked through to separate us. And it's caused us to get our vision off of what's really important. So this morning I want to convey to you that God is still in control. And we are not saved because we're Americans. We're saved because of the blood of the Lamb. You can be saved in China. You can be saved in Africa, in India, any place on the face of this planet. When the Lord came to bring this great salvation, it superseded any political power or government. Do you really believe that? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I'm afraid, in a sense, we've been bombarded to feel like we're in control of it. We're not in control of it. The Lord's in control of it. Our allegiance belongs to Him. First and foremost, that doesn't mean you're not thankful. It doesn't mean you can't put your hand over your heart. When you see a flag go by or when you sing the national anthem, I thank the Lord that we can be proud of America. I've often thought, though, would there ever come a time when I would say, this isn't my home? I'm not comfortable with things that are happening here. I would rather run away. So far that hasn't happened because I'm still glad to be here. I'm thankful to be here. But it's not my hope. I'd like for us to go and turn to Proverbs, the 21st chapter. What has happened is we've become involved politically. And you may become involved politically because you're a citizen of the United States. But that's not a requirement of a child of God. And we've blurred that, and it's caused problems. Proverbs 21:1, it says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it, whithersoever he will." The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. I remember my father-in-law quoting this verse years ago when a president was elected that we were very sad. We were very sorry. But he was saying the Lord's in control of it all. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. But sometimes we feel like it's in our hands. And that's an error. We can trust the Lord to take care of us. Because what happens when we get so politically involved, we start fearing then. That if I'm not politically involved, then it cannot happen. It cannot move mountains. I have to be politically involved. And if you want to, you may choose to. I'm not saying you don't have to. But do not do it as a child of God. Do it as a citizen of the United States and understand there is a difference. The Lord reigns over all. Ephesians, the first chapter. Sixteenth verse. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the work of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Who are you trusting in? We're trusting in a mighty God who's over all principalities, little kingdoms, large kingdoms, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. When we become so involved in it, it sets us against our brother. You're a registered what? See what I'm saying? It put a difference that should never have been there. You can do those things as a citizen. But there's something more you're supposed to do as a child of God, and that's to pray for your leaders. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. But we felt like, no, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. And the Lord's saying, I'm above all of that. I remember one time at our dinner table, we had some guests in our home and family too, and there was discussion brought. And it became not just a discussion, it became debate then. It wasn't just a discussion. And I remember sitting there thinking, the Lord's not either party. Did you hear me? The Lord's not either party. He's above all of that. And I thought, what are we trusting in? We're trusting in a God that's higher than that. Our kingdom is not of this world. Our hope is not right here. It's above all of those things. When we start feeling like we have to hang on to those things, what we're telling our children is, if it doesn't change, you could have a horrible world to live in and you might not survive. And what you've done is you've degraded their chance of faith. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. You instill in your child the confidence that no matter what comes or whatever goes, you can serve the Lord anywhere. You can serve him anywhere. What we've been given, though, is a great privilege, a great freedom. Do you know there's not a camouflage vehicle at the end of the driveway with two soldiers that have machetes or machine guns saying you cannot enter these grounds or your life will be taken? Do you know what a grand privilege that is? A wonderful freedom we have? I thank the Lord for it. If that were taken away, could you still serve him? Well, of course you can. You just have a greater risk now. Your life is on the line. You know what I have found? I've found that it makes people want to go more. And I think our doors are open. And we can't get people to come, but maybe if they can't come, they'll want to. I don't know. That's kind of a reverse psychology. I don't know. I don't quite understand all that. But there's freedoms given to you that you, as a citizen of God, can exercise. The freedom in him. The freedom to go visit. The freedom to edify one another. We don't have a censored mail. You can go encourage your brother, and the name Lord written in the passage will not be denounced or thrown away or burned. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Utilize that to the glory of God. Utilize the chance to visit your brother or your sister. Don't let that be something that isn't there, then we finally wish we had it. Exercise it now. 1 Peter, the second chapter. It's Peter saying this. 1 Peter 2 and 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or as unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do will. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing he may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." We're where we are to be an example of God wherever we are. Do you know we have examples of that? We'll go to that in just a minute. They had these questions when Jesus was here. What party should we belong to? Matthew 22 and 17. "Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, Who is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and render unto God the things that are God's." Don't blur the line. Don't mix it up. The things that are God's are far above any political system. I repeat that. It's far above any political machine they have out there. You're trusting in God. When those times roll around and we do have a chance to vote, you can vote. I'm not saying you can't. Vote as a citizen of the United States of America. But as a child of God, that's not required. Your voting should be on your knees. Collective prayer and fasting is far more effective than any vote you'll cast. But that's not what we're hearing. See what I'm saying? We've been bombarded. We've been made to think that we're in control of it. Let me tell you what God, how God sees it. In Acts, the 12th chapter, there was a man who was over, who was ruler, who was cruel, who was awful to the people of God. Acts, the 12th chapter. "Now about that time, Herod, the king, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread." And if you'll read on down the things that happened to Peter, Peter was able to escape by the mighty hand of an angel. Deliverance was from the Lord. But this man was in the political realm. Okay? Go on down. "And when Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desiring peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them." This is a man who's cruel. He's killed the saints. But he made an oration. Look where the people's heart goes. "And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of man. Lifted him up." He felt that elation. He clamored for it. He craved it. Most political figures do. "And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost." Did they have to vote him out? No. Who was in control of that situation? The Lord. Complete control. You know, we feel like we've got to stand up for our right. We really don't have any right. We're just a child of God. That's our claim. Nothing more, nothing less. If you want to be involved in those things, beware of the carnality behind them. That's where it is. John, the 18th chapter, and the 36th verse. And this is the part that troubles me, because this is Jesus' words. They were trying to pin a political system on him. And he said, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." I repeat, God's Christ kingdom is not of this world. It's not here. We've lived a wonderful life here. We're blessed in many ways. But this is not our hope. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence. It's not here. It's not here, folks. Our hope is in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, because it will carry us to heaven. There are two examples I'd like for us to look at and examine. Genesis 39th chapter. Here was a young man that was sold as a slave to people who were going to a foreign land. Do you realize the obstacles Joseph had to face? He was not familiar with this. Had he even visited Egypt? It was foreign to him. And Egypt was a very ungodly nation. You start looking into that. Idolatry, human sacrifice, it was rampant with all those things. And here's Joseph in a foreign land. But do you know what Joseph had? He had the Lord. The Lord was with him. Did the Lord decide, or did Joseph decide, well, I see the good that they are doing, I am going to pull ranks with them? No. He was still a servant of God. The Lord blessed Joseph because Joseph's point, his desire to live, was for God. Do you know there's going to be times you're put in situations where you're not going to be in agreement with your employer at all? But you're to be an example of the believers as employee. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain's guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Why was he prosperous? Because he joined ranks with this idolatrous nation? No, because he proved to be a child of God in spite of the place he was living. Do you know you're going to be in circumstances that are going to be unsavory and that you had not planned on, and you cannot agree with the way they perform their lives? Potiphar, what kind of man was he? What kind of morals did he have? Joseph proved to be a moral man, even in the face of temptation, great temptation. Even in the face of injustice, he got to serve time in prison for a crime he never committed. But do you know what? He saw beyond that kingdom in Egypt, because he saw to the heavenly kingdom. And do you know what his testimony was when it was all over with? 50th chapter, it says, Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, am I in the place of God? But as for ye, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." He recognized that even in this dire circumstance, the Lord has brought me here. I thought of that song they sang, "Lord, I thank you for the valley." Help us to embrace the reverses in our life, to understand that many times that's to bring life to yourself and to other people. He was in a circumstance that was unsavory. I've never had to live under that. We have another fine example in Daniel, the 6th chapter. Do you realize what Daniel was under? They had been captured by an idolatrous, horrible government, political system, and they were engrafted as slaves. But Daniel did something different. And we have the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They knew this kingdom was not their hope. But their hope was in a God who was with them in the fire. Do you understand that? That's where our kingdom comes from, surviving the fires that the government systems are intent on putting us in. It's not to cause an uprising or to gather a bunch of people together in an organization to put down the political system. That's not where their energy was spent. Their energy was spent in doing the very best they could for the Lord. And it said, then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. Our allegiance is to the Lord. That is our requirement as a child of God. And what he wants out of us, no matter the political system we are in, is to find in us an excellent spirit. Yes. How did Daniel find that? He spent a lot of time with God. We have record of that. And I thought, Daniel's circumstance. Was he ripped from his home? Was he taken from his wife and children? What was the circumstances? We don't know a lot about that. But they weren't kind when they overtook and conquered a nation. They never were kind. They hired them in, or conquered them and brought them in as bondmen or slaves. But he had an excellent spirit in that. Did he promote Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom and say, this is where it's at, folks? I'm in agreement with this man and we need to stand behind him? He served the Lord in the greatest capacity by being the example of the believers. Nothing more, nothing less. I appreciate that. Where's your allegiance today? Is it in a political system? I would like for you to reconsider that. And vote if you want to. Be involved if you want to as a citizen of the United States. But realize our allegiance is truly to the Son of God. I desire you pray for me.